I'm joined by John Sagabill, an environmental chemistry professor at UNR. John, how prevalent are PFCs? Where do we find them?
So PFC stands for perfluorinated compounds. Because when you make a perfluorinated compound, you make an extremely stable compound, one that is almost impossible to break down, and one that persists for long periods of time in the environment and in our bodies. They're actually not all that toxic on the grand scheme of things. There are a lot worse things in this world. There are long-term exposure consequences of them, but for example, another refrigerant that was used and still is used in some large commercial operations is ammonia. Ammonia is very toxic. I would much rather get exposed to some perfluorinated compounds than to ammonia in large doses. Neither are particularly good, but we're talking about relative amounts.
Why are they being banned?
Well, that's actually an interesting question because it appears from the press release that came out just recently that they're not in much use anymore, if at all. And that raises the question, well, why bother banning something that's not being used? On the other hand, a ban of something that isn't being used is not terribly consequential to anybody. I think they're being banned because there is some recognition that these are potentially harmful compounds and that they are better to be getting out of our food system particularly.
Do you think it's too late for this ban?
No, I don't think anything like that is too late. I think particularly something like this, where by banning it and by putting out a press release like they did about it, we can raise the awareness of the use of a lot of similar types of compounds throughout all of our industrial processes. So I think that kind of awareness and making people aware that there are consequences to a lot of the things that we may take for granted, that's a good thing.
If PFCs can be so dangerous to us, how do they even make it to the market?
What is so dangerous? Gasoline in your car's tank is incredibly dangerous. The initial purpose of a lot of these kinds of compounds was to replace things that were frankly worse and more dangerous. Somebody initially looked at this and said, hey, this is a really good thing. We should introduce this and bring this in. Then it becomes commonplace. Maybe we, you know, in the 1950s, we didn't have the long-term health data on these kinds of things. And it wasn't required of companies to produce long-term health data of every single thing they manufactured. There's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of compounds, organic compounds, chemicals in commerce today. Should we be analyzing all of them? Yeah, I think we probably should. But that's coming from an environmental chemist. Not to pick on KUNR, but you folks just handed me a plastic bottle full of water. If I analyze the water carefully in this bottle, I guarantee you I could find organic pollutants in it.
Are there any alternatives to PFCs?
Oh, there's always an alternative. A lot of these compounds are used many ways for convenience. Plastic water bottles are convenient, people think. So we're talking about food containers. So what is our alternative to this food container? Well, perhaps a glass bottle. Well, a glass bottle is heavier than the plastic bottle, so to transport it takes more energy. That energy energy production has consequences, has environmental consequences. If you used electricity to create that energy, you're probably going to be burning some coal. Coal contains mercury. That's going to produce mercury in the atmosphere. Seriously, this is how we can think about these kinds of things, but it gets very, very complicated very, very quickly. Glass also breaks if we drop it on the floor, and then somebody could get their finger cut. Or, you know, all these things have... You can look at sort of a life cycle cost. Whenever we look at something like this, yes, we have to ask the question of, is this use absolutely necessary? Are there alternatives? But what are the consequences of those alternatives?
Thanks for being here today, John.
You're very welcome. It's nice to be here.
With Dr. John Sagabill, an environmental chemistry professor at UNR. For Reno Public Radio News, I'm Luisa Vieira.